As we go through November again, we'll be hearing some of the lives of the saints. Last week we talked about St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Teresa of the Little Flower. And the story of Zacchaeus today just made me think of so many saints, the attitude that they have, that through some circumstance in their lives, they realize that they are in the presence of Jesus, they see Him, and they turn their backs on all of the enticements and the promises of this world. They leave all to follow Him. Do you know this story of Zacchaeus? Follows shortly after the story of the rich official who had followed the commandments all his life, and he came to Jesus wanting to know what more he must do to inherit eternal life. And he was told by Jesus that there was one thing left to do, to sell all and to distribute it to the poor. In so doing, he would obtain treasure in heaven. And then Jesus looked at him and said, "Come, follow me." Of course, we know that that rich official went away sad. So he and Zacchaeus stand as two examples of what can happen when we hear the Lord's call. Now, many of us know the story of St. Francis of Assisi, and perhaps we know many of the legends or many of the caricatures. Perhaps we think Francis is a garden statue, right? But behind all of those legends, there is a man who, in essence, heard those words from Christ, and far from going away sad, he followed Him with his whole heart, mind, body, and soul, and so knew the joy of being a follower, a disciple of Jesus. So, what is St. Francis' story? Well, Francis was the son of Pietro di Bernardone, who was a cloth merchant who had gained some wealth, although he was not a member of the noble class. So it seems that through his hard work, he had earned a good business. And Francis grew up, as we know, in the town of Assisi, which was a walled city, but not one of great power or influence or size. As a youth in this small city, Francis knew privilege, and he was attracted to adventure and parties and frivolity. And as many of his contemporaries, he was attracted to the tales of romance of the knights. His personality made him the center of attention. And among the social elite of his age, he was the leader. There's no evidence, as many of us may have heard, there's no evidence that he was a great sinner, but he was perhaps given to vanity and to self-centeredness. At the age of about 22, he followed many of his classmates and confreres, taking on the armor of the knight to go to war against the neighboring city of Perugia. They lost that war, and he and many of his companions were captured and imprisoned. And after about a year, he was finally ransomed, bought back, and he returned in very ill health. And this was the occasion for a spiritual crisis for Francis. His life began to spin out of control a little bit. He was losing his grasp on the joy that he had experienced as a youth. One day he heard in prayer something that would become a great prophecy of his life. The Lord said, "Francis, everything you have loved and desired in the flesh, it is your duty to despise and hate if you wish to know my will. And when you have begun this, all that now seems sweet and lovely to you will become intolerable and bitter. But all that you used to avoid will turn itself to great sweetness and exceeding joy." Francis did not know what to make of these words, and yet he did realize that all that he used to love had begun to lose its flavor. His many friendships, the parties, his work and earning money, even his military dreams, they began to be empty for him. And what was left was a sense of nothingness for him. And so he cast himself into sort of this spiritual darkness and focused on works of penance, giving alms, praying, mortifying his body. It was as if he was trying to buy himself back into divine favor. And yet he found no relief. He became very odd, actually, in his behavior. His friends and his family were ashamed of him. And he lost many of his friends, all but one friend who stood by him. And he was frequently seeking to be alone, seeking solitude. And one day he prayed, "Enlighten the darkness of my heart, Lord. Give me perception and knowledge that I might carry out your will." Okay, this moment for him was like Zacchaeus climbing the tree, looking to perceive, to see the Lord, so that you might know him and carry out his will. And how did the Lord respond? How did the Lord speak to him? Well, it was through an event that would happen shortly thereafter. Francis was known for his vanity, as I said, and so the people that he was most uncomfortable with were the poor, and especially the lepers, because of their physical deformity and their lack of any of the things that Francis cherished. He was particularly averse to the lepers. But one day, as he was traveling, he saw a leper coming by. And moved with a pity that he had not known before, he gave his cloak to the leper. And soon, as he went on, he ran back and kissed the leper. Something totally against his character. This instance began to reorient Francis's life radically. He began to act contrary to all of the values that his family and that the world had inculcated in him. He then began to spend much time in this church named San Damiano, which is just outside of Assisi. And one day in prayer he heard the words, "Rebuild my church, which has fallen into disrepair." And he took this literally. He began to put stone upon stone to rebuild this church. And then thereafter, many of the other country parishes. And in order to pay for this work, he sold some of the wares from his father's business. Well, his father, fed up with the foolishness of his son and his basically stealing from him, had Francis arrested and put in prison. Later he was put on trial in the presence of the bishop, and his father demanded restitution. So Francis sold everything he had, returned all of the money that he had to his father, and even took off the garments that he was wearing and gave them back. The bishop quickly put on the first thing he could find, which was a brown peasant's robe, and that's what we know him as having worn for the rest of his life. And he said to his father, "Until now I have called you Father on earth, but now I say, Our Father who art in heaven." He had seen that his father had become an obstacle for him to follow Christ, like the crowd for Zacchaeus, preventing him from seeing the Lord. He had to do all in his power to cast that off. And so Francis began this life of wandering around, preaching the gospel, caring for the poor, owning nothing. First he was ridiculed for this, but then people began to see his sincerity, and some began to follow him, and then more and more. He had no intention, of course, of beginning a religious order, but soon he realized the need to write a rule of life for these his followers and companions. And that rule of life is very simple. It's based on two things. One, following Jesus, trying to be like him. And two, embracing poverty. Francis would call poverty his wife. And he would call her the fairest bride in the whole world. And many of these things he realized that he had once cherished were indeed the things that he found bitter, but the things that he had hated, poverty and not having security and not having friends, were the things that gave him the greatest joy because they conformed him. They made him like Christ. So we know Francis for many, many things, and there's so many stories that we could go into, but there's that love of poverty, his promotion of peace, his love, or his recognition of the presence of God in all creation, which reminds us very much of our first reading today. We know him for his preaching. We know him for the religious order and all of the many Franciscans who over the last 8 centuries have continued to proclaim the gospel. We know him for having received the wounds of Christ, the stigmata, near the end of his life. And say we know him because our Pope has chosen his name in order to guide his time as the successor of St. Peter, in order to focus on the care for the poor. So there's so many things to say about Francis, but I'd like to close by listening to the first rule of the Franciscans. So this is what Francis wrote, the way that his brothers should live. The rule of life of these brothers is this, namely, to live in obedience and chastity and without property, and to follow the doctrine and footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And in like manner, if any man come to me without hating his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And everyone who has left father, mother, brothers and sisters, or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall possess life everlasting." Very powerful rule, straight to the heart of the matter. And Francis was not asking anything of his brothers that he had not done himself. Just like Zacchaeus, when the Lord spoke to him, "Come down, I must stay in your house." Francis followed him with a reckless abandon. The Lord has a call for each of us, and he wants us to have that attitude, the attitude of the saints. What is your will, Lord? Let me see it and let me do it. St. Francis of Assisi, pray for us.